Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Ian Steele from For the Love of Wine. How are you, Ian?
I'm okay.
Excellent. Are we going to be talking about Swiss wines today? You're an importer of Swiss wines?
I am indeed. Hello. One of the few importers of Swiss wines.
I know, we were talking earlier, and you're saying Swiss has a massive export of, what was it?
0.5%.
0.5%, which, you know, is...
And they make as much wine as New Zealand.
Really? Golly gosh. Yeah, that's probably about right, isn't it? So New Zealand's normally, what, about 3-4% of total wine sales in the world?
They're roughly the same size as New Zealand, yeah.
So, yeah, it's not sort of wine you see. I was in Switzerland last year, actually. I popped into, I think it's called the Vaud, but we'll talk about the wine regions later on. Tried a few wines, bought a few bottles, or Chasselet.
Chasselas.
Oh, well, we'll get you correcting all my spelling mistakes and pronunciations later on. But just quickly, do you want to tell us a wee bit about For the Love of Wine? Because I have heard of your business, but I haven't really clocked you before, Ian.
Well, For the Love of Wine is a small importing company. It's basically myself and my son. We import mainly Italian wines with Switzerland thrown in. And we just started with Alsace and Franken in Germany. Yeah. So we like a challenge.
Yeah, Alsace has got some noticeable, but of all the French wine regions, it's probably the least known.
Yep.
And where in Italy are you bringing wines in from?
Basically all over. Very few regions that we don't cover.
Okay.
From the south to the north.
Okay.
And the middle.
Well, I want to focus in on Switzerland today.
Okay.
Is there anything in general you can say about Switzerland before we get more specific?
General about Switzerland, that's an interesting question. There are three different areas, obviously three or four different languages, but three different areas. You've got the Ticino, which is the Italian-speaking, and they have a different microclimate. You've got the Eastern Switzerland, which covers all the German-speaking area, and you've got the French area, which includes the two largest wine-producing regions in Switzerland, and that counts for something like 75% of the wine produced in Switzerland.
Oh, okay.
So the statistics are, yeah.
Okay, so the French-speaking area, that's on that sort of bottom left-hand side.
Yeah, the bottom, yeah.
And that's
bottom left-hand side, yeah.
Geneva at the center.
Geneva, the Vaud, the Valais, or half of the Valais, Neuchâtel, up to Bern. Basel is in both. So you've got the right and the north.
Basil. Oh, okay. Yeah, I see Basel. I've got a map of Swiss wines.
Eastern Switzerland is a whole bit on the west, down to the Alps, and then you've got Ticino, which is a small area, counts for about 7% of the wine production.
You say Ticino, but it looks like
it's Tessin.
It looks like Tessano.
Tessin, which is the French way of pronouncing it. Ticino is the Italian way of pronouncing it, and Ticino is Italian-speaking.
Okay, and it's a Swiss area that's Italian-speaking, so yep. You're saying Ticino.
Ticino.
Sounds like, so yeah, the cash register's going, ka-chinga, ka-ching. No, maybe
it
not.
It tends to do that in Ticino, yes. It's a very expensive part of Switzerland.
Is there a cheap part of Switzerland?
Nope.
No. And the other area that we were talking about, German-speaking area, that's centered around Zurich, really, isn't it?
Centered around Zurich, yeah. Hallau Valley up in the north, which is a bit beyond the Rhine. And fairly well across to Basel as well. Basel is bilingual. It's Basel, Baal. So you've got from there across to the Austrian border and the German border.
Okay, so I think people can get an idea that Switzerland is a country wedged in between Germany, France, and Italy.
And Austria.
And Austria on the right-hand side, isn't
it? And a little bit of Liechtenstein as well, don't forget.
Oh, really?
A little canton, yeah.
I tell you what, one of the things that got me a bit irate when I went through Switzerland was I turned up and they said, oh, you need a sticker to drive on our motorways.
That's right.
And it cost like, I know, it was 6 months' drive. I only wanted it for a day and it was
about 40 euros.
Yeah, it was horrendous anyway. Yeah. I was horrified. And I said, well, can I take another route? And they said, yes, you can go about 4 hours back the way you came and then you can take these roads, which will take an extra 4 hours or so. I was like, oh my God, just give me the money.
Sometimes you can get away with it.
Really? On the motorways?
Yeah. Sometimes if you just drive in and they don't stop you, you can get away with it. But,
No, I didn't know what I was doing, so they got me.
It's worse in Austria.
Really? I suppose they're a transit, aren't they? You know, if you want to do things through it, it's a nice way of taxing people.
That's right. I came from Germany into Italy and I had to touch Austria literally for an hour and I got charged.
Yeah. No fun.
And that wasn't the motorway.
Okay. So let's start off with the French region down in Geneva and the Val and the Valais. Is it Valais?
Valais.
What's the key grape variety down here?
Well, the white is Chasselas.
Yeah.
Which is expressed in the Vaud, it's Désolé, Epaisse, Saint-Séphorin. And in the Valais, it is Fondant, which is probably the most well-known Swiss white wine. And you get various different expressions of it. In Geneva, it's a fairly bland wine. The soil is fairly muddy. It's a grape which expresses the terroir more than any. It's a fairly neutral grape. So you get the very expensive grapes in the Vaud, on the very steep sloping areas, in Désolé, which is, you know, basically three lines of grapes, and then you go down another 6 meters, 3 meters, before you get the next lot, and that expresses the soil, which is basically stone. In the Valais, you get very stony soil as well, the glacial moraine, so you're getting that type of flint coming through.
And what does that do to the wines?
But in the Valais, it's the ones that we import are very, very minerally.
Okay.
Because that's the type of soil you're getting. It's the moraine from the glacial valleys, so you're getting a very, very stony. And the same in the Vaud. As I say, in the Valais, in Geneva, it's a bit flabbier. So, because it's clay soil.
Yeah, it always gets slightly heavier, richer wines. I did notice that we've just tasted a load of wines with you before we recorded the show, and I did notice that pretty much all the Swiss wines, for me, they were quite soft. There wasn't a lot of acidity to them. There was none of that sort of piercing acidity that you almost expect from cool regions. But is that a function of more of the grape varieties, or, you know?
Well, the valley isn't exactly cold. Yeah. All the grapes are south-facing along the Rhone Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the Rhone Valley, incidentally, and it's great to do a wine tasting of Rhone wines when you include a throw in a Swiss one.
Yeah,
because the valley is on the Rhone.
Oh, okay. So Rhone Valley is...
Rhone Valley runs through the valley into Lake Le Mans, Lake Geneva, and out the other side.
Ah, okay. So would you say that the area is quite warm climate then, not cold?
In there, it's in the winter, it's cold, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You get snow and...
Heidi on the hilltops.
I went there in February, March time last year, and we stayed in chalets just at the snow line, not very high up, and the wind was freezing.
Really?
So, but you get, I've got photographs of some vineyards in snow down there. You get snow. But in the summer, it's very dry.
Yep.
It's very warm. The sun shines in. So.
I did a train tour when I was on the board. I was there with my daughters.
Lucky
and,
you.
Yeah, and I wanted to have a look around the vineyards, and they obviously were not interested in that in the slightest. They were like, Daddy, do we have to go to another vineyard? But I managed to get them going because we took a wee train ride up around the hills and all that
stuff.
That's
fantastic, yeah.
And really steep, really super steep. You know, it was like crazy steep almost. Quite hard to sort of, from a viticultural point of view, to manage vines along that. And
It's not exactly flat.
Yeah.
Certainly the valley and the Vaud. If you go down, as I say, Désolé, Epaisse, those vineyards are very, very steep.
Yeah.
They're built by monks, you know, pain and pleasure.
I did see on the way in, when we got around Geneva, there seemed to be more rolling hills.
Yeah, flatter.
Flatter, yeah.
Clayer. It always used to be the cheapest area to buy wine.
Oh, is it?
In Geneva.
Yeah, okay.
But I fell out with my Geneva producer because he started charging me more than my fondant.
Oh, okay. And is that no good, is it?
No.
Okay. So we've got Chasselas down here.
Chasselas down there.
Chasselas.
Chasselas.
Chasselas. Yeah.
Right down there in the German-speaking eastern Switzerland. You've got Chasselas there as well, but basically Müller-Thurgau, which is the Riesling Silvana cross.
Yeah, Müller-Thurgau used to be grown in New Zealand a lot. So a lot of cheap New Zealand wines before sort of Sauvignon Blanc Revolution of the 80s in New Zealand was Müller-Thurgau.
Really?
So I grew up with a lot of Müller-Thurgau, you know, very floral, floral fleshy wines that are, you know, high yielding, but gluggable is what I remember it from.
Well, that's what you're getting out of eastern Switzerland. I mean, the Müller-Thurgau you tasted earlier, fairly floral.
Yeah, no, though.
Nice wines. There you've got Müller-Thurgau, and then you've got some indigenous grape varieties.
This is up near Zurich, though.
This is up near Zurich and around. Then you've got the Rauschling, which is a different grape variety.
Yeah, we tried that. That seemed quite unusual, wasn't it? Yeah. Rauschling, because it's Rauschling sounds like maybe like Welsh Riesling or something like that, no. But it's not, is it?
No, it's a grape variety.
Does it have a sort of French equivalent or a German equivalent?
I can't answer that question.
Yeah, okay, no, that's fine.
And a very, very small grape variety up there, Completa.
Yes, we tried. That was really unusual.
Yeah.
It wasn't fruity at all. It was very cedary with a touch of sort of almost bruised apple, almost slightly oxidative and leasy.
A little bit of oak on it.
Yeah, leasy and oaky. It had all that sort of stuff. Not a lot of fruit there.
I think there's about 20 hectares.
Really? What's it called?
Completa.
Completa. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About 20 hectares. And it's only grown in a certain area, the Malan area of Switzerland, which is near Zurich, yeah.
I imagine that's quite a food-friendly wine. You know, you can imagine that with lots of sort of...
Something heavier. The heavier white foods, yes.
Yeah.
Not the lighter ones. I think it would overpower the lighter meats. But, you know, get a nice bit of salmon.
Yeah.
Greasy fishes.
Yeah, yeah. Or even something slightly nutty as well, I thought would go quite nicely.
Yeah,
with that
I think that would go very well with that.
When I was tasting it. So, yeah, okay, that makes sense. And what else do they produce?
So the reds up there are still Pinot Noir, basically Pinot Noir. The only grape that we import from that area is Pinot Noir. And then you get various different expressions of the Pinot Noir depending on your soil.
Yeah.
You know, from the lighter one in the Vinegan area to the one in the Hallau Valley, which incidentally is the second driest part of Switzerland.
Is that
the first time I went there, it poured as rain.
Yeah.
Certain law.
Yeah, it's like London's one of the driest parts of England, but it's rained for 6 weeks nonstop.
Yep.
Okay.
So that's the eastern part. The Swiss part, again, your main grape variety is Chasselas, in different expressions. You've got the Désolé Express, as we've spoken about, Sancerre, Chablais, with an A, not Chablis, Chablais, with an A, A-I-S.
What is that? Is that a grape variety?
No, it's Chasselas.
Region. Oh, okay.
Chasselas again.
Yep.
And then the famous one, Fondant. And then the main red grape variety is Pinot Noir.
Yep.
Followed by Gamay.
Yep.
Now,
we tried a Pinot Noir Gamay blend, actually.
Yeah, which is 50-50. But the best expression of it probably comes in Dole, which is another probably the most popular red wine, best known red wine in Switzerland, which is mostly Pinot Noir, can be 100% Pinot Noir, and Gamay, with a little bit of, you know, something like a Dolinois thrown in, which you've probably never heard of.
No. It does seem to me that, talking to you, that Switzerland does have a lot of indigenous grape varieties.
They do
have
a lot of indigenous grape varieties. We tasted Humagne Rouge, Humagne Blanc.
Yep.
No relation to each other, the two wines. Petit Darwin, which is about 60 hectares. Humagne Rouge, as I've said, about 80-90 hectares, and another small one, Cornelin, which you didn't taste, which is a very, very rustic grape, very rustic wine, which is about 20-25 hectares.
Yeah.
So you've got lots of small different vineyards, and that white wine, the last white wine you tasted was Haider.
Yeah.
Which can grow up to 1,000 meters, 1,100 meters.
From volume point of view, what's the biggest grape varieties?
Chasselas and Pinot Noir.
Chasselas and Pinot Noir, and they're big dominant ones.
They're the most popular. The one that we haven't touched on in Ticino is Merlot.
Oh, yep.
88-89% of the grapes grown down there are Merlot, including white wine. They make a white wine out of Merlot. Just take the fruit, squeeze the grapes, take the skins away, free run juice, make a lovely white wine.
I had a white Cabernet Sauvignon from a light pressing a wee while ago, and it did taste quite different to what you'd normally expect from Cabernet Sauvignon.
Yeah, but you don't want to serve that type of wine too cold.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you'll lose the fruit. You'll lose the fruit that gives it the flavours.
Okay. Any other big grape varieties? So Pinot Noir, Chasselas?
Pinot Noir, Chasselas, Gamay. They do Chardonnay and this type of thing as well. They do produce it, but they also produce sparkling wine.
Oh, okay.
Down in Neuchâtel, we buy some sparkling wine. Method, dare I say it, Champenoise, we're not allowed to say, method traditionnel. And in fact, the one we buy from is very close to a little village called Champagne.
Oh, really?
And they make still wine and they can't call it Champagne.
No.
They're not allowed to call it. Champagne is a region in France.
It's two regions in France.
Two regions in France, totally divorced from each other.
Yep. Don't forget the important fine champagne cognac.
So, but the village of Champagne can't call his wine Champagne.
Oh, that's a shame, because the French call it Champagne after the soil, name of the soil. So, I've got a wee book in front of me that I'm sort of desperately flicking through so I can keep up with you and try and understand what you're saying. But it seems to me that the Appalachian Control Aids, if you want to call them Appalachian Control Aids these days, they're about to change names. There seems to be a structure to them. What is the structure that in Switzerland?
AOC. I think in Ticino they've got DOCs as well. It's something that's come in since I started importing Swiss wines. To begin with, they didn't have anything, or they had it a different control system in each area. And now they're meant to be spreading the control system across Switzerland, so they've got one control system.
Okay, but the regions are called cantons.
The regions are called cantons.
So that's like the Rhone Valley or Bordeaux?
Bordeaux. Canton is Geneva, the Valais, Vaud, Ticino. They're separate governing areas of Switzerland. And as I say, different speaking areas as well. And the Valais got two languages, which always surprises me with the Valais, because if you look at the map there, you come down the valley and it comes to a dead end.
Yep.
It's a glacial valley. And at one stage, it was basically cut off because of the stone being taken down by the glacials at the late beginning of Lake Le Mans. And you would have thought that valley would have had its own language because it was basically cut off. No, it's got French in the first part, German in the second part. And the architecture is totally different.
Oh, really?
And at one stage, before they built the new roads, you used to go across a bridge, a little rickety bridge between the two areas, and you got completely different architecture, different language. One side was speaking French, the other side speaking German.
Is there much conflict in the Swiss wine regions between the different speaking areas? Like, not conflict, but competition perhaps, or rivalry?
Well, considering they only export 0.5%, I can't think there must be. I think most of it's probably drunk in the area in which it's in.
Okay, so domestic consumption is a big one.
Yeah.
Okay, now that sounds cool. All right. Is that pretty much Switzerland in a nutshell?
In a nutshell, yeah. I think, they make some very, very good wines. They're fairly expensive.
Price is something that maybe that's the reason why they don't export a lot, because they are quite pricey.
They are quite pricey. But in the main, I used to say, when I used to buy wine from Geneva, there was only one wine that I didn't think was value for money, and that was their straight Chasselas. It would be certain in those days when the pound was stronger against the Swiss franc. It used to be under a tenner. But there was a lot of wine that was available of better quality than that under a tenner. But you go into the fondants of this world, the Doles, the Désolés, the Épaisses, they're expensive, but the quality's there. So you do get actually quite a good price-quality ratio. And the wines you tasted today, I mean, the Pinot Noirs, I think, are lovely. They're soft, gentle Pinot Noirs. And I think the quality is there, the price-quality ratio is there. And you do get the blend one, the Chasselas Müller-Thurgau, from two different cantons. I'll say one thing about the people that you tasted, the Volg, the main wines you tasted today. They're a massive organization. They make millions of bottles of one wine. And they import juice from South Africa and Australia, etc. But I was with customers there, and we went past a barrique, and they said, we don't know what to do with this. We made this a bit like Pinot Noir, a bit like a Madeira.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know, put the demijohns on the roof to get the heat.
Yeah, let's see what happens.
And then put it in the barrel, 2003 vintage. Taste it. I had seven customers with me, and it was after 7 at night. We tasted it, and they turned around to me and said, Ian, you've got to bottle it. And we bottled it, and it's gone down a storm in the UK. 450 bottles only, and that's it. 17% alcohol, Swiss Madeira.
Yeah, okay.
But that's the company. They are prepared to do that.
Experiment, try different things.
Experiment and try, yeah.
Cool. All right. Okay, then, Ian, I think we'll wrap it up there.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.